good start. There's a couple things you should know. One is that you get graded on your ability to sustain one tune for 5 minutes. So, you know, it's like exercises, you know, first you do it for a minute, and then you work your way up to 2 minutes, then pretty soon you're up to 10 minutes. See how long you can sustain one tune without changing. You make it all the way through, you get a gold star. Okay? Second thing. There are many advantages to being Indian. One of the disadvantages is that everyone assumes that you know how to play kartals, so they never teach you how to do it. And so we find, you know, which is, you know, like this. That's different from. So see if you can learn how to do it like that. It makes that kind of sizzle, they call it in English. I don't know what you call it in any other language. You know, where it's not. That's the third beat. That way it sounds more like music and less like clanging. That's like banging. Banging and clanging, Prabhupada called it. So he wasn't really so super fond of banging and clanging. Let's see you try it. Better. You can wrap that around your finger.
Some people play like this.
Yeah, that you can do sometimes, but it's the same thing. It's not. That's the same thing as. You can hear the difference between that and. Not the greatest kartals in the world either. But I'm not the greatest kartal player, so we'll match pretty well. Get one more chance and then you can practice on your own.
This way.
I'll show you the first thing. This left hand, you can make it like that. And you get greater control. Third time it doesn't go like that, it goes together. Yeah, but not so together that it stops.
Halka sa vibration. Halka sa vibration rakho third mein.
You're striking it off. You strike them third time together. Together, but they like this. Everyone else is watching, I hope, because not everyone knows how to do this. You're doing it like this. It's, they go together the third time, but not completely together like that, but like lightly together. Yeah, so it's not stopping. You can do it this way. That's not the idea. So it's still playing. There it is.
I need to practice.
Okay. Do that because So it's one of the things that, actually it's more important than Bhagavad Gita class. Bhagavad Gita, you know, that's for some special occasions. But kirtan is what we do all the time. When we meet some philosophers, we talk about Bhagavad Gita. But kirtan for always. Yes?
The MIHT sells Jaiva Kumar's seminar on kirtan reform. If anyone wants a copy, please approach
me. Please buy this set of seminars on kirtan reform. I'm dependent on the royalties as the demigods are dependent upon their share of sacrifice.
And Bhakta Simon said he is not well, he won't be coming. And Krishna Balaram Prabhu said he'll be late.
Okay.
Just forgiveness.
Well, forgiveness is another thing, but at least we'll understand. Okay, and we're chanting chapter 3. You can have an MIHET making sure everyone knows how to play Kartal's course. Part of the honors program. Okay. Arjuna Uvacha Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Buddhir Janardana Tadkim Karmani Korema Niyo Jayasi Keshava Vyamishrene Bhavakena Buddhim Moha Yasiva Me Tadekam Badanishchitya Yena Shreyo Hamapnuyam Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Lokesmin Dibhita Nishta Buddha Prokta Mayanaka Gyana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam Na Karma Namana Rampan Naishkarmyam Pudushoshnate Nacha Sanyasana Deva Sittim Samadhi Gacchati Nahi Kaschit Shanamapi Jatutish Tatya Karma Krit Karyate Yamasha Karma Sarva Prakriti Jayagunaihi Karmendriyani Sanyamya Yahaste Manasasmaran Indriyatan Vimuttatma Mityachara Suchate Yasvindriyani Manasa Niyamya Rabhaterjuna Karmendriyaya Karma Yogam Asakta Savishishate Niyatam Kuru Karma Tvam Karma Jayoya Karmana Sharira Yatra Pichate Na Prasidhye Karmana Yavyartat Karmano Yatra Loko Yam Karma Vantana Tadartam Karma Kanteya Mukta Sangha Samachara Sahayagya Praja Shrishtva Puro Vacha Prajapatihi Anena Prasavishyatvam Esha Vostrishta Kamadhuk Devan Pavyatanena De Deva Pavyantuvaha Parasparam Pavyanta Shreya Paramavasyata Ishtan Pogani Vodeva Dasyante Yogya Pavitaha Tairdatana Pradayaibhyo Yopumte Stina Evasaha Yagya Shishtashina Santo Mujjante Sarvakil Vishahi Punjate Te Turham Papa Ye Pachantyat Makaranat Anyad Bhavati Putani Parjanyad Anna Sampavaha Yagyad Bhavati Parjanyo Yagya Karma Samudbhavaha Karma Brahmod Bhavam Vidhi Brahmakshara Samudbhavam Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Nityam Yagye Pratishtitam Evam Pravartitam Chakram Nanuvarta Yatihaya Aghayur Indriya Ramo Mokham Partha Sajivati Yastvatma Ratir Evasyad Atma Triptas Jamanavah Atmanyeva chasantushtas tasya karyam navidyate naiva tasya kriten arto na kritene hakaschana na chasya sarva bhuteshu
kaschid artavya pashrayaha tasmada sakta satatam kayam karma samachara asakto yacharan karma paramapnoti purushaha karma naiva hi sansiddhim asti na janakaryaha loka sangraham eva hi sampashyan kartum arhasi yad yad acharati sheshtas Tattadevitharojanaha Sayat pramadam kurute Lokastadanuvartate Name parthasti kartavyam Trishu lokeshu kinchana Nana vaptam avaptavyam Parthadeva chakarmani Yadi yaham navarteyam Jatu karmanya tandrataha Mama vartmanu vartante Manusya partha sarvashaha Usside yuri me loka Nukuryam karma chedaham Sankarasya chakartasyam Upahanyam ima prajaha Sakta karmadya vidvamso Yata kurvanti bhadata Kuryat vidvamsata shaktas Shakir shur loka sangraham Nabhudi pedam janayet Agyanam karma sanghinam Joshaye sarva karmani Vidvan yukta samacharan Prakate kriyamanani Gunai karmani sarvachaha Ahankara vimudhatma Kataham iti manyate Tatva vittu mahabaho Guna karma vibhagayo Guna guneshu vartanta Iti matva visajjate Prakriter guna samudha Satyampe guna karmasu Tana krishna vido vandan Krishna vinda vichalaye Mayi sarvani karmani Sanyasya dhyatma chetasa Nirashir nirmamo bhutva Yudhyasva vigatadranaha Neme matam idam nityam Anuchishthanti manavaha Shraha mantro nasu yantro Mushyante devi parvati Yedvetadavyasu yantro Nanuchishthanti mevatam Sarva jnana vibhudham stan Vindhi nashtana chetasaha Sadrasham cheshtate svasya Prakriter jnana manapi Prakritim yanti bhutani Nigraha kim karishyati Indriyasyendriyasyarte Ragadvesho yavaskrito Sayor namashama gajchet Kvaudyasya paripantano Shayat svatharmo viguna Parakarmat svanushtita Svatharme nitanam shreya Paradharmo payavaha Arjunubacha Ata kena prayuktoyam Apam shadati pushtaha Anityana vivasneya Paladiva niyojata Shri Bhagavan vacha Kama esha gurudhesha Raguna samudbhava Mahashano mahapapma Vidyenam nihavairinam Trumena vyate vanir Yata darsho malena cha Yato vena vrto garbhas Tata tenedam avritam Avritam jnaname tena Jnanimo nityavairina Kamarupena kodeya Yushpurena nalena cha Indriyari mano buddhir Asya dhishtana munchyate Etar vimohaya kesha Jnanam avritya dehinam Tasmatvam indriyam yado Yamya bharatarshapa Papmanam kajahi yenam Jnana vijnana nashanam Indriyani paramyavur Indriyevyak parammanaha Manasastu parabuddhir Yo buddhe paratastu saha Evam buddhe parambuddhva Samstabhyatma anatmana Jahi shatru mahabhavo Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Karma Yoga Nama Iti Yogyaya.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtati Deshatara. We discussed that Krishna has no work prescribed for him, that one has to act to benefit others by showing them the right example. We've discussed that everything is actually done by the modes of material nature, but a foolish person, puffed up by false ego, thinks, I'm doing everything. Kartaham iti manyate. And Krishna has concluded that one should act as a matter of duty, nirmamo nirahankara, without false ego, without false possessiveness, nirashir nirmamo bhutva, free from desire, yudyashva, you should fight, digatajwara. Digatajwara means
Free from lethargy,
yes. Okay. Now Krishna says, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava shradhavanto nasuyanto muchante te bikarmavi. This is a nice pair of contrasting verses that Krishna will speak. Me matam idam nityam. My opinion, my injunctions, my word, my eternal instruction. Anutishtanti manava. Anutishtanti means following. Anu means following, or anu means regularly executing. Anutishtanti manava. A human being who regularly follows these things, shradhavanto, faithfully, and anasuyanto, without envy. Pravaksham yanasuyave, later we'll find. Krishna says, I'll speak to you because you're not envious. Anasuyanto. Such a person, muchyante tepi karma, such persons become freed from the results of material activities. Pretty clear and straightforward? Yes? Yes. Then, on the other hand, move this a little bit because I'm bending it. Oh, the Prabhupada makes an important point here that even if one's not perfectly able to execute the instructions, just the fact that he's not resentful, that, all right, Krishna's saying, let me try, that in itself makes him qualified. Even though unable to execute such orders, he becomes liberated because he has firm faith in these instructions, because he's not resentful. Without a sense of defeat, without hopelessness, he tries to execute the order, then Krishna will help him. Ye tvetad abhyasuyanto nanutishtanti me matam sarva gyana vimudhan stam vidhinashtana chetasa. On the other hand, too, those who are envious, abhyasuyanto, just the opposite, and nanutishtanti, just the opposite, they don't follow me matam, my instructions, sarva gyana vimudham stam, all their knowledge is screwed up, bewildered, bereft of knowledge. Vidhi, you should know that. And nashtan achetasaha. Achetasa means without Krishna consciousness, or it literally means without consciousness, but What kind of consciousness? Without Krishna consciousness. Nashtan. Nashtan means they're ruined, finished. Any questions here?
What is the difference between befooled and fooled?
Same thing. So, same thing. English grammar. Anything else? Okay, our editorial interest here. First edition said, bereft of all knowledge, befooled, and doomed to ignorance and bondage. Doomed to ignorance and bondage. Doomed. Doomed to ignorance and bondage. You will notice, however, that there's nothing in the Sanskrit about being doomed to ignorance and bondage, nor was it in Prabhupada's original dictation. Rather, what Baladeva Vidyabhushan says and Srila Prabhupada says is that nashtan means that their attempts for perfection are ruined. They're ruined in their endeavors for perfection. That's what Prabhupada says. And then that's echoed in the last line of the purport. There's no hope of perfection of life for him. He's probably doomed to ignorance and bondage also, but that's not what Prabhupada said. Not probably, he is doomed to ignorance and bondage. But that's because he's ruined in his endeavors for perfection. Okay? Then, this is a very interesting verse, the next one. Sadrisham cheshte svasya prakriter jnanavan api prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Everyone endeavors, cheshtate, svasya, prakrite, according to his own nature, according to the nature that he's picked up from material influence. Ganavan, even a learned person, even a person who has knowledge, acts according to his own nature. Prakritim yanti bhutani, because after all, everyone follows the nature that they've acquired from the three modes. Nigraha kim karishyati. What will repression accomplish? Very interesting verse here, particularly because of how it's often used in the devotee community. How is it often used in the devotee community? Well, no. Okay, preach to me. I'm going to use this verse for you. Well, let's see. What's a good example? I'm looking for a good example. Give me a moment. Okay. I've decided we're going to have a new program here at the MIHE in the afternoons, because I realized that according to my nature, you know, I need a little bit more engagement and freedom, and, you know, I'm just not properly engaged. So we're going to have in the afternoon an hour of basketball and an hour of rock music. Haribol! Because, you know, before coming, it was like my nature to be very active and engaged, and I was, you know, I was kind of like really into sports, and I've just been repressing it for the last several years, and I realize it's artificial. And so you know, I'm just not going to be like that. You know, what can repression accomplish? Everyone follows his own nature. So I'm going to get, you know, more in touch with myself, a little more natural. And, you know, those of you who have a similar nature, we're going to do a little basketball thing here for the marriage. Not everyone has to come, but those of you who have a similar nature. And then after that, you know, a little music practice, because that's another thing, you know, it's just like, oh, it's just in my blood, you know? Yeah, I used to play bass. It was really good. And, you know, kind of free up our energy for an hour and balance out the devotional program. Good, huh?
I mean, after all, what will repression accomplish?
No one seems to want to preach to me. You're all game for basketball and and music practice. What's going on? Okay. Who's with me and who's against me?
Why don't we all have a big kirtan for 2 hours and we'll jump up and down?
Yeah. That too.
Get lots of exercise.
Yeah. That too.
We can have that instead.
No, why instead? That's repression. And what will repression accomplish?
No repression. 2 hours of kirtan.
Yeah. Let 2 hours. No, we can have lots of kirtan. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I know Prabhupada said no idle sports. This is not idle. This is our nature. And what will repression...
Regulative principle as per our sadharma. Current sadharma is to follow regulative principles given by Acharya.
But this is Bhagavad Gita?
This Acharya is given from Bhagavatam.
You're saying that we should take Bhagavatam, but not... This is Bhagavad Gita. Nigraha kim karishyati.
But this is Ardhakukuti Nyaya. Taking a part of it and...
No, I'm taking it as it is. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is.
See the context.
This is the context. What will repression accomplish? Krishna is being very clear. Everyone, even a man of knowledge, acts according to his nature.
Prahlad Maharaj says you're wasting time by playing.
That's because they weren't practicing self-realization. I'm practicing self-realization, but I realized what can repression accomplish.
Krishna says you have to engage your nature in his service.
In regulated
I am.
What's the connection of basketball with Krishna? What is it?
I become strong. I feel better. And when I feel better, I can serve better.
Does it have to be basketball? Or can it be kirtan?
No, it could be soccer.
Regulation.
What about kirtan? Why not?
We
kirtan?
Did that already. It's not the same. You don't understand.
You have to go by regulation. This is attachment without
everything
regulation.
Regulated. Little, just a little bit of this, a little
the
bit of that.
The next verse. The next verse.
Probably you're sounding really attached to that basketball.
No, I already said soccer is okay.
The next verse, you're going out of context. Maharaj, you're just taking one out of Ardhakukutaniya.
To the basketball devotees, whatever we do should be pleasing to Krishna. So will that basketball be pleasing to Krishna?
I think it will be pleasing to Krishna because it's Krishna himself who says that everyone has to follow his nature.
And then the next
line, what will repression
in
accomplish?
The next line he said,
and when
there are
I'm happy, when I'm happy following my nature, when Krishna sees that I'm properly situated, that I'm peaceful, that I'm living a full life, Krishna will be happy also.
And the next thing he says, there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects.
That's fine.
So you have to follow regulations.
I'm following.
No, follow regulations is for
regulated basketball.
I'm following. Just an hour.
Regulations by Acharya.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Starting tomorrow, we'll do it. Doesn't have to. Today is too short notice. We can. This is repression. Repression. This is just repression. You're trying. This is cheating. You know that. You're just trying to repress me.
No, it's regulated. Next line. Next verse. You have to be regulated.
Okay, we'll play basketball. But every time we pass the ball to each other, we got to chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. I didn't mean we were going to fall in line. We're going to play basketball and chant Hare Krishna. And we're going to, you know, with the guitar thing, we're going to be chanting Hare Krishna. It's all going to be Hare Krishna. He hasn't said anything about it.
Yes, he has.
And right here he says, what will repression accomplish?
There are principles to regulate attachment.
Yeah.
Maharaj.
Karman Vidvamsho, what is that? You read the other day? One should not try to unsettle the minds of those who... But this is, you know, it's just unnatural to try to repress my natural propensities.
Not unsettle the minds of the ignorant. So is this what you want to be, Prabhu? An ignorant person? Whereas the order of the spiritual masters clearly that exercise all right and dovetailing all right. Similarly, he said there are two kinds of sports that are considered Vaishnava sports, which can be engaged in by devotees, namely swimming and wrestling. But other sports, especially bold sports, Prabhupada specified, not for initiated devotees, perhaps to others.
Yeah, I understand, I've read it, I know, but what will repression accomplish? Everyone has to follow his nature. Well, that's Krishna not talking about our true nature. Our true nature is to be in Goloka Vrindavan and, you know, all of that. This is, you know, about the material world.
Until unless you become in Krishna consciousness, you cannot be free of modes of nature.
Right. That's my point. I never claimed to be a pure devotee. I'm still a conditioned soul. And what will repression accomplish?
Wait, I'm reading the purport further.
You're not making an endeavor to come out of Maya, but still you're complicating.
I'm endeavoring, but you got to give me a little slack. What will repression accomplish?
How can basketball help serving Krishna?
You know, it kind of like, what's the word? Loosens me up a little bit,
lighten
calms
up.
Me down, I feel better. Lighten and when I feel better, I'm a better devotee. And Susie thinks so too. Well, she thinks I've become like a kind of a calmer, a better person since I've been playing. You know, I mean, what can I say?
You'll go for basketball.
Okay, so this is how the verse gets used sometimes. That repression, you know, anything that holds down what I want to do is repression. Especially this word, repression, which I don't remember if it's in the original manuscript, has a modern connection with the teachings of Sigmund Freud. It has a very particular meaning in Freud's psychoanalytical presentation. And I don't even want to present to you what because it's nasty, but because it's technical, what repression is. But But Krishna is not speaking with reference to Sigmund Freud. You can be sure of that. The intention here is that according to the Varnashram system, everyone has a particular nature and therefore a particular duty. Brahmins are Brahmins, the Kshatriyas are Kshatriyas. You put a Kshatriya in a group of Brahmins, he's still going to act like a Kshatriya. You put a Sudra in an assembly of Brahmins, he's still going to act like a Sudra. You put a Brahmin in an assembly of Shudras, he'll still act like a Brahmin. Everyone has his nature, and therefore he has to act according to his nature. Arjuna has to act as a Kshatriya. We find it elsewhere. Then later in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, if you think that you're not going to fight, mityaisha vyavasayaste. Nigraha, what is that? Mityaisha vyavasayaste. Prakritim tam niyokshasi. Is that what it is? Niyotsya iti manyase. Yeah, yadahankara mashritya na yotsyati manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistam yotsyati. Yeah, I got it right. That if you think out of false ego, I won't fight, this is all nonsense. Because your prakriti, your nature, will engage you anyway. You can't stop it. You have a particular nature that you've picked up from material according to your body and your mind and so on. And you can't just stop that. So you have to act according to the system that engages that. It means act as a Brahmin, act as a Kshatriya, act as a Vaishya, act as a Sudra.
But people take it that Krishna's saying, don't control your senses, because if you control your senses, it's going to drive you crazy. In the modern psychoanalytical, actually psychoanalysis is old now, it's kind of passe, but in the modern touchy-feely worldview, there's this idea that a human being who controls his senses and denies himself something is building up pressure within himself. The more he clamps down, the more the pressure is building up until finally it's all going to explode and go kablooey, and there's going to be little pieces of him all over the garden. Therefore, if you want to be happy and healthy and whole and well-adjusted, you have to kind of be a little easy on yourself.
Indulge.
And just do what comes naturally, whatever that might be. Well, that's not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is not saying, well, listen, if you feel something, do it. If it's in your heart, follow it. If you feel the urge, don't repress that urge, because that's going to, you know, give you mental illness. That is not what Krishna is saying. And I just talked about basketball and rock music practice, because that was called Maya Light. But the same arguments are applied for more
hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore engagements. Thank you.
Maya Light.
Yeah, Maya Light.
So you say that it's, you know, only according to Varnashram. We don't have Varnashram Dharma. We are from the nature culture.
That is going to be explained in a coming verse. And we are going to talk about it. In fact, it's going to be two verses from now. Well, hold on, okay? And it doesn't mean that because you're from the Mlecha culture, you're meant to be Mlecha forever. Mlecha is not even culture. Okay, are we ready to move ahead now that you've defeated me so successfully? Got to do a little better than that, gang, okay? Okay, ready? Now the next verse. Indriyasya indriyasya arte raga dvesho vyavastito teorana vashamagach chet tohyasya paripantino. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. And what does that all mean?
You feel like playing basketball.
Nah, forget basketball. What does it mean?
Falling Varnashram.
Yeah, that's just a slogan. What does it actually mean?
Ducktailing.
Yeah, that's another slogan. What does it actually mean? Yeah, it has something to do with regulating the senses. A little more fully. Excuse me? These are like flags, you know. Revealed scriptures, rules and regulations. Varnashram, you know, I'm looking for something a little more cohesive than that. And just throwing up a couple of words and saying, you know, this is my slogan. Yes?
In the 64 Angas, there are certain things that are prescribed,
yeah,
and certain things that are best avoided.
Yeah.
And then these rules help to detach us from the objects of our senses.
True. Yes. True. I have something further in mind, which I guess I'm going to reveal to you now. I'll disclose the secret. The Prabhupada makes this point that there are rules and regulations that one has to follow to regulate attachment and aversion, but one should not come under the control even of those rules. One shouldn't be attached to the attachments and aversions that one that are prescribed, that are sanctioned, that are allowed. Prabhupada makes that point here. Should follow, those who are Krishna conscious are naturally reluctant to get into sense gratification, but those who are not should follow rules and regulations from the scriptures. Because unrestricted sense enjoyment messes one up. Whereas following the rules and regulations, frees you from material entanglement. And then Prabhupada gives the usual number one example, sex life. Unrestricted sex life is the cause of every kind of trouble, but therefore there are rules and regulations for restricted sex life. Because even a person who's married, still he wants to have a little chickadee on the side, or you know, there's always something going on. So one has to restrict these propensities. So one has to follow, but we should not rely upon the control of these allowances. One has to follow the rules and regulations unattached to them. Because practice of sense gratification under regulations may also lead one to go astray, as much as there's always the chance of an accident even on the royal roads. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must be avoided by all means. Even when we're following the rules and regulations, not that we say, well, you know, I've got a license, and so I'm going to enjoy. But according to rules and regulations, one has some scope, but not that this is my success in life, that I've got this license, and oh boy, do I have a license. One should know that it's for controlling and that we should not be attached to sense enjoyment, that the purpose of the rules and regulations is to reduce our engagement in sense gratification, not to give it full, glorious scope. Not become attached that, boy, do I have a license. Yes?
This is kind of like describing a person who sees the rules and regulations and just, you know, stretches his...
Yeah, like I had a ticket many years ago. Those who might remember Trans World Airlines, which has since gone bankrupt because of people like me. They had a round the world ticket along with Singapore Airlines. And the rules were that you could travel all around the world as long as you stayed on their airline, these two airlines, and you always had to keep always going east or always going west. You chose at the beginning whether you're going to go east or west, and you always had to go there. And what else was there? That was basic. Oh, you couldn't double back. You know, you always have to keep going in the same direction. So I got that, and it was cheap too. I have to tell you that. It was a very cheap ticket at the time. So I had that ticket, but I found out, I got a copy of the fare rules, you know, that are registered with the government, and I found every single exception to the rule. I found out that London and Paris, I think it was, or Paris and someplace else, because they're in a straight line this way, you can go back and forth, up and down, without going east or west. I found out that New York and Miami are considered to be, you know, you're not going east or west. I found out that there were two exceptions. You could go from London to Athens and back as an exception, even though it wasn't sticking with the thing. And you can go from London to Tel Aviv and back, which was like a $500 trip in itself, you know. London, Tel Aviv and back. So I made my ticket in such a way, I got every single stop I could possibly take. I got London, Tel Aviv. I got London, Athens. I got, you know, the amount of mileage I got out of that ticket
is probably what drove the airlines out of business. I got so much mileage out of it. I got 2 stops in Singapore. I got, you know, so much. Because I just looked at it and said, now, you know, what can I possibly squeeze out of this fare? And I squeezed everything I possibly could. And it worked for me because I had actually work in all of those places for the BBT. It was great. So that was my spirit, how to, you know, get into every possible space that the rules and regulations allowed me so that I could use it to the maximum. That's not the spirit in which Krishna recommends that we follow the rules and regulations, or the acharyas recommend that we follow the rules and regulations. Because then you're pushing it. If you're always on the border, you know, and next thing you know, just like if you drive right on the edge of the road, you can go off the edge of the road. So the acharyas are recommending without attachment. All right, I have some scope. It's part of my duty to do this and that. But not that I pig out now. Yes?
They say that a definition of a lawyer is someone who is expert at the law in order to break it without being punished.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a lawyer, a person who's expert at breaking the law so that you can break it and not be punished. So we shouldn't have a lawyer's mentality. And you find devotees who are like, you know, Nigraha Kim Karishyati. And the attorney for the defense says, hey, Nigraha Kim Karishyati, you know, I'm just doing what Krishna says. And he's doing all rubbish, but he's got a verse there. But that's not the spirit. The spirit is the spirit of service, and the spirit is the spirit of detachment. But we don't want to be too detached. Too detached means what? What's too detached? Yeah, aversion. Aversion to what?
To rules.
Nope. Nah, guessers. A whole class full of guessers. What's over detachment?
Sense gratification.
That's over attachment.
Rupa Goswami describes the Bhagavad Vairagya, that is things which, renouncing things which actually can be used in Krishna.
Yeah. What does Prabhupada say here? Detachment means detachment from Krishna consciousness. Aversion. No one should try to be detached from Krishna consciousness at any stage. The whole purpose of detachment from all kinds of sense attachment is ultimately to become situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness. So we should not be averse to Krishna consciousness, and we should not be overly attached to the material world. Okay? Any questions?
Oh, you're tired today.
Such a tired batch. You working too hard?
No.
No? Getting enough rest? Class too dull?
It's too cold.
Huh?
No.
Too cold?
No. Morning.
Morning's too cold? Yeah. I feel a little crummy too, to tell you the truth. But you know, I have to do this work or they won't feed me. Okay. Sreyan Swadharmo Viguna. Paradharmat Swanushtitat, Swadharme Nintanam Shreya, Paradharma Payavaha. This theme will come up several times in the Bhagavad Gita. Paraphrase it for me. Paraphrase it. Paraphrasis.
It is better if you do what is your duty, even if it is not done perfect, than to follow the duty of somebody else in a perfect way.
That's it.
That's exactly the same.
That's it. Just about the same. But good. Better to do it. Paradharma bhayabha, following somebody else's duty is dangerous business. You'll get in trouble. Yes?
How can one do this duty of another person perfectly because this is not in his nature. And his duty not perfectly because this is in his nature. This doesn't make love.
No, it may. One may pick up by some. What should we say? By concentration, or by opportunity, he sees. Well,
like
you know.
Arjuna wanted to beg. Like Arjuna wanted to beg.
Yeah, or one sees that. Well, you know, it's his job, but he hasn't come yet, so I can get in there and do it. And I could be good at it, but just to be good at it doesn't mean that it's my job. You know, just like suppose I could jump on the altar and you know, take Jananivas's service or something like that. Maybe I'm a really good pujari from Los Angeles, and I, you know, but it's not, if it's not my job, you know, my job is to lead the kirtan, and all of a sudden I said, I want to be the pujari, I want to be the pujari, but you're just told to do the kirtan. What's another example? In the military, of course, you get all these examples. You know, everybody knows better than the sergeant, right? Every enlist, every corporal, every private has a better idea than the sergeant. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes, you know, the sergeant or the lieutenants, usually. The lieutenants, you know, they really don't know what they're doing, or they really have a bad idea. But now if every corporal, every sergeant, every private thinks, well, I could do better than this. You know, they have colorful language in the army. So, you know, I could do better than this. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. And I mean, I know what I... We blanked out a lot of colorful words there. So, but then what happens? Everything gets screwed up. Even if he actually knew better than the lieutenant what to do, the fact that he's a sergeant and is supposed to be following orders screwed it up. Or the fact that he knew better what to do on the left flank, but his job was to watch the right flank. Even if he did a bad job of protecting the right flank, that would be better than pushing through on the left flank, because meanwhile, your right flank gets screwed up. You have to do your job. Even if you think I could do a better job than he's doing on his side, I have to do my job.
And then he's out of a job, too.
Yeah, well, that's another... Yeah, everything goes cockeyed. Everything goes screwy if we're not performing the duty that's prescribed for us. The military is a very good example. Any organization. You know, if I jump in there and the, you know, I'm in the accounting department, suddenly I think I'm a hotshot in sales. And I jump into the sales department and start talking to people's customers, and all of a sudden everything's going, you know, going a little strange.
An example could be when a preacher is preaching to somebody, I think that I can be a better preacher, and I jump into the scene.
Yeah, that's also. That's also. It's not my job, it's his job. But I think it's also a big transgression of etiquette. But I think, let me jump in there. Yes? We're going to come to that. But as a principle, one should do his own duty, not grab up somebody else's duty. There's some duty prescribed for him, that's what he should do. And several times in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole picture here, you know, we have a world, a democratic world, in which it's like the values have turned around. The value now is that it's all about the individual. It's all about the individual. And everyone has to realize his full potential and, you know, do his, you know, find his place where he can do the most and be the most satisfied and accomplish the most and realize his potential. And it's all about, you know...
Empowerment.
No, it's all about seizing power. Yeah, empower. Everybody should empower. But it's all about realizing the individual's, you know, what he wants to do and what he can do and what he'd like to do and what, you know... And everybody should have an equal opportunity to do everything, and that's kind of... America's got those values. French Revolution helped a lot. It's a kind of a recent thing in the last couple of centuries, really. It's always been like this, this kind of mania for, you know, everybody having free potential to do equal opportunity of everything, and women should be able to do, you know, why should they be stuck changing diapers when they could be running corporations, and why shouldn't the CEO be changing the diapers, and why shouldn't everybody be, you know, it's weird. Up until not so long ago, pre-French Revolution and pre-few other things, there was the sense that there was an order to society, that there was a hierarchy, that people had their natural place in the social order, and that their role in life was not to jump from one place to another place, but to perform the duty that they had. This was not only there in Bhagavad Gita, even in European society in recent centuries, this sense was there. And it's there in many other civilizations of the world also. That it's not all about everybody has equal opportunity to do everything, but it's about everybody has a particular function in the whole picture. And when I do my function well, then things go on nicely. In the army, it's not all about, you know, everybody jumping ahead and everybody doing everything he wants to do. It's about everybody doing his own job well. In the railroad, it's not about everybody doing everything. It's about, you know, the guy who's shoveling coal, shoveling it. It's about the guy who's the electrician, seeing that the electricity is running nicely. It's about the cook, seeing that things are cooked well. Everybody has a job. Everybody cooperates. And in the proper system, there's proper respect for everyone, proper regard for the importance of everyone's work. And it's not that everybody, you know, switches places all the time. Yeah, that you have to find out. Yeah, the teachers were there who would see the spiritual master. Or the, of course, typically it was by family tradition. You know, it's a terrible thing, birth, but they generally by family tradition, you find that people in the family, when the family traditions are upheld, the son of a kshatriya would actually be a kshatriya. Son of a Brahmin would actually be a Brahmin because he's born in an intellectual family. By his karma, there's an intellectual atmosphere, and he functions as an intellectual, except if he's a bum. If he's not actually an intellectual, then all right, you're not an intellectual, you're something else. If you're not actually functioning as a kshatriya, you're not a kshatriya, you're something else. But otherwise, if you're functioning that way, then, you know, it follows very naturally. I remember being in Vrindavan one time. I was outside the temple, and there was some, you know, the flower sellers were setting up. And there's a kid there, you know, and he's setting up the stand, and he's sprinkling the water on the roses. And he looks like he's been doing it for, you know, 40 years. Because it just, you know, such a natural, you know, just falls right into it. I went into another little shop. I wanted to buy a spoon. So the father's sitting there, the son is sitting there, and the father is watching while the little kid is selling me the spoon. There's an Ayurvedic doctor that I used to visit in Delhi. He sits there and his son sits there. And the father takes the pulse and gives the diagnosis and that, or, you know, thinks about the diagnosis and then gives the hand to the son. Says, what's the diagnosis? And then he says yes, or he says no, or he says almost, or whatever. So naturally in the family tradition they would get trained up. Except if the son's, you know, just doesn't have it to be a doctor, all right, he'll be something else according to his qualifications. But everybody has a place. Everybody has a place. There's an order to things. And things are arranged. And the authorities are to see that everybody's properly engaged according to his duty. Very different concept from, you know, what's running in the world generally these days. But not that the world has become better because everybody's, you know, everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, just like Parikshit Maharaj was born, and in the first canto you find Yudhisthira Maharaj and others inquiring, what kind of child will this be? Will he be worthy of the family heritage? Will he be a worthy follower of his forefathers? And the astrologers said, yes, he's, you know, don't worry, he's got all the good qualifications. But that was their expectation. That because he's coming in the line of such a, in which traditions have been carefully preserved, it's hoped that he'll be a qualified person to carry. He may not be. Then he's, you know, excluded. But no, he is.
I'm trying to understand, so I'm opposing the idea. Hmm? But we see these days that son of a farmer goes to an IIT or engineering college or to a management college, and he becomes a successful engineer or a manager.
Yeah.
Even though he's son of a farmer.
Yeah. And then now no one wants to farm anymore. He becomes a successful engineer and figures out new ways to put the farmers out of work. So you get a, you know, everyone's a business executive, everyone's a, you know, a something artificial, and there are no farmers. And people actually who should be farmers, and it's fine, all right, if the person is seriously qualified, there are a lot of people who are business executives who should be farmers. A lot of professors who should be farmers, Prabhupada said. So it's not just by birth, but it's by their qualification. Right? Not just birth, but qualification. We have to see who's qualified, actually. The people who are supposedly the kings and presidents, you know, what kind of people are they? You know, they should be, if they were trained up, they could be farmers. You know, if they were uplifted, they might one day be qualified to be farmers. So it's often imperfectly applied or badly applied or applied for total exploitation. But in the actual Varnashram system, people have their prescribed duties according to their qualities, according to their work. Not according to birth. But generally, the qualities and the work would coincide with the birth. And if they didn't, then all right. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj was told, Narada told Yudhisthira, if you see a Brahmin in a Kshatriya family, Kshatriya in a Brahmin family, then they're Kshatriyas and Brahmins, they're not. Yes?
Yeah, so would it be correct to say that even though in principle it is not by the birth that decides one's Varna, that by and large you will follow in the footsteps of your fathers?
Yeah.
And
that's generally what will happen. But it's not ironclad, because it's not that it's judged by birth, it's judged by quality and by work, but generally the quality and work will be in line with the family heritage.
Because the situations are favorable.
Because
the situations are favorable.
Yeah, because the samskaras are followed, because
the exposure.
Yeah, everything is in a natural sort of a
from childhood way. Seen it.
Yeah. There's something to be looked at in this purport. This is the editorial diversion for the day. Let's find it. Give me a moment. In the purport to text 35, there's a sentence about, it's the sentence, second sentence that originally read, prescribed duties complement one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. That was the original sentence. And as a consequence of that, it was rather often heard in ISKCON that the duties that devotees should have should be duties that complement their psychophysical nature. You know, so you'd hear, well, that's just not my nature, Prabhu, da 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 da. But as you see in the new edition, what's said is what Srila Prabhupada actually said. Materially prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's
psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna.
It's pretty clear.
So there are two ways of looking at what your prescribed duties are. Materially, okay, what's going on with the modes of nature, and spiritually, what the spiritual master says. Therefore, Prabhupada explains at the bottom, when one transcends the modes of nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, the kshatriya may act as a Brahmin as a kshatriya. The distinctions of the material world don't apply. And there we find Parshuram acting as a kshatriya, Vishwamitra acting as a Brahmin, and so on. But as long as one is on the material platform, he has duties according to the modes of nature. Still, he should have the sense of Krishna consciousness. Duties on the spiritual platform, duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. So there's this sense that it's not just I pick up and do whatever suits me, but I do what I receive from the authorities. So the father is a natural authority. The father says you should do this. Spiritual master is a natural authority. He says you should do this. The king is a natural authority. He says you should do this. It's not just that, well, I feel like doing X, Y, Z. But people would give great importance to the words of their superiors. And that way understand what their prescribed duty was. Not that everybody just said, well, you know. That's how society gets all screwed up. Everybody wants to do everything. Revolutionary. Or counter-revolutionary, if you will. Because the big revolution was that everybody should be doing everything. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes? Did Parshuram ask his spiritual master to become a kshatriya? What's the history with Parshuram? His father was a Brahmin. His father was... Well, that was later. Father asked him to kill his mother. But because there was some Kartavirya Arjun who was harassing...
He killed his father. Then he took off the chopper.
He did austerities and said, okay, I'm, you know, what is this? Enough of being a Brahmin. When this so-called kshatriya has killed my father, well, I'm going to out-kshatriya him. So he did tapasya, severe austerity, and he became the fiercest kshatriya. Said, what are these kshatriyas? I kill them all 21 times. There he did that. Yes?
What a spiritual master orders us, for example, stay in this ashram?
Yeah, it's not that the spiritual master's kind of like just a person who gives some advice, you take it or leave it. He's kind of like a guidance counselor or something. Spiritual master's word is to be taken, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, as one's life and soul.
I mean to say, like, for example, he orders you to follow some material duties,
and
then it becomes spiritual.
I gave that example before, that one devotee, Prabhupada, told him, you'd be in charge of construction. Then he thought, oh, Prabhupada doesn't understand my nature. So he ruined... The devotee ruined his spiritual life and thought Prabhupada has ruined my spiritual life. He thought Prabhupada, you know, if I follow Prabhupada, I'm ruining my spiritual life. But it was by not following that he ruined it. Shall we move forward a little bit? Any other questions here?
As long as in the middle platform, he must perform his duty according to the modes of nature.
Yeah.
The person, he may be in mode of ignorance.
Yeah.
And suddenly he wants to join as full-time devotee, in, say, as a brahmachari in Iskcon temple. And suddenly he is not able to adjust. Like he's in ignorance, he came from such a background. And suddenly he sees that brahmachari is getting up early in the morning, 3:30, and they're systematic. And suddenly he's not able to follow it.
Therefore, then you have to see.
What,
you have to see. Therefore, Prabhupada wasn't for everybody joining the ashram. You have to see. One has to be so expert to know how people should be properly engaged. Just like here, we have a class for studies and so on. Prabhupada said not everyone is meant for this. There are some devotees, you sit them down in this class and they're going to be like suffering so much. You know, they need to have some work to do. Some, you know, they're just not going to think about this kind of stuff. Or we have our postgraduate devotees. You can't put everyone in the postgraduate class. There are people who go nuts in that class. And those people might go nuts in other engagements. So it's the duty of those who are the managers to see what is the right engagement for each person. It takes some doing. But even if I feel like that, no, this is not, still one should try to carry out the orders of the spiritual master. Very important. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Suppose that sometimes happen that you are in the temple and you have one book, you know, like distribute books. So you go out, you distribute books. You collect some Lakshmi, you give to the authorities. But they don't use the Lakshmi properly.
Yes.
So, and then you ask the devotees, you know, what should I do? And some devotees say, no, Prabhu, just be humble, do your duty, and this will keep you safe. Some devotees say, no, it's better to find another service in another place. So what should we do in this?
Well, that's not a one-size-fits-all answer. We have to see. Spiritual master may be there to be consulted, or the higher authority, governing body person may be there to be consulted. Or sometimes, I know one devotee, he was in some temple and he was just being misapplied, misengaged. And, you know, it was going nowhere, wasn't doing anything. You know, they were giving him like some serious work to do, but it was just like foolishness practically. So he began consulting some of the senior devotees who would visit. I was thinking of starting a center, doing something, you know, a little separate. And practically everyone encouraged him. Temple president wasn't encouraging him. He didn't know about it. But he was going to, you know, serious senior devotees, that this is what's going on, I'm thinking of this and this. And everyone encouraged him, yes, you should do that. So he did it in this very successful center. So, consulting senior devotees or consulting the spiritual master, or in that way, try to get some good direction on the matter. Yes?
Is the story like Bhishma was fighting with the spiritual master?
Yeah, that's not.
I was just curious if there is some Shastric.
Yeah, no, there's no quotation about. Under what circumstances you should fight with your spiritual master? No. It's not between the basketball game and the rock music practice, I can tell you that. No, there's no. That's a one-shot deal for Bhishma. If you're Bhishma, you can do it.
Or else if you are Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, still you could do it.
He didn't do it.
No, his Vimal Prashad. No, so he rejected his Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati master.
Maybe, but that's, he didn't fight with him. Now the question comes, for which we don't have very much time, actually. We're a little slow today, but it's okay. 5 minutes, according to my watch. What's everybody's watch say?
Mine say 11.
10-2.
Yeah, 10-2. Okay, I have 9 up. Arjuna vacha atakena prayukto yam papam chariti purushaha anichchana pivarshneya baladi vaniyojita. What is it that makes one act sinfully?
Atakena. By what? Prayukta is one engaged. Papam chodati. Performing sins. Notice that failure to perform one's prescribed duty, deviation from one's duty, is sinful. Context here is Krishna just said everyone should perform his own prescribed duty. So context is that performing someone else's duty is sinful. That was mentioned or inherent several times. Prabhupada's mentioned that Arjuna said, well, if I fight, that's sinful. Krishna says, if you don't fight, it's sinful. Because your duty is fighting. So what is it that makes a person become nonviolent when he's supposed to fight, or fight when he's supposed to be nonviolent? Or, of course, there are things that are still worse. What we speak of usually as sinful activities, gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and so on and so on. So what is it that makes a person do these things? Anichchan. Even without ichcha, without his desire. Balariva. As if by force. Balariva niyojita. As if engaged by force. What is it? The living entity doesn't want to act sinfully, but he's forced to act. So Krishna's Prabhupada says it's not the super soul who's pushing him. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamesha Krodhaesha, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhyena Mihavairina. My dear Arjun, it's kama, lust. Lust only. And krodha, anger. Rajagona samudbhava, which come from the mode of passion. Mahashana, mahapapma. Vidyenam iha vairinam. And which is the greatly sinful, all-devouring ashanaha, mahashana, the great devourer, Mahapapma, greatly sinful, Vairinam, great enemy in this material world. That's the cause. And Prabhupada explains that the natural function, natural tendency of the living being is to love Krishna. But when one comes into material contact, that love for Krishna becomes perverted into lust. The same way that milk turns into yogurt by contact with something sour, living entity goes sour by contact with lust. And the mode of passion plays the prominent role here. And when lust is unsatisfied, then the next thing is anger. You see these, it's common now in advertising. You know, the models are looking like this. Right? Yeah. You know, angry. Film stars and models and people in advertising. It's like the advertisement, the mood is...
Model.
Out of my way, man. You know, speak to the hand. Yeah, it's all... You know, out of my way, or I'll crush you. This world stinks. It's a violent world. Unless you're tough, you can't deal with the world, okay? Don't give me your blah, 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 blah. You know, and the woman's the same way. It's like, you know, yeah, I had enough of you guys. You know, you're all the same. You know, not, you think you could push me over. I'm tough too, you know. Blah.
angry at one another, angry at the world, angry at their, you know, their parents, angry at their friends, angry at their wives or husband. You know why? They didn't get what they wanted. They expected that things were going to be, you know, nice, and my desires were going to be fulfilled. Instead, my desires got thwarted, got frustrated. So what's the result? I'm pissed. I'm angry. You know, the man marries the woman marries the man, and when sense gratification doesn't follow, you know, then things start flying.
Bring laptops.
Yeah, bring laptops, sorry there. And you know, people do real violence to one another. I mean, not just domestic quarrels. The number one, as far as I recall from seeing the figures, the number one scene for murder is where?
Home.
Home, yeah. The number one, you know, it's not like the fatalities are all coming in bank robberies and stuff like that. It's usually family members killing one another. Typically, the wife kills the husband, or the husband kills the wife. Excuse me?
Wrestling.
Excuse me?
Wrestling. Killing each other.
You say in wrestling also people die?
Yeah, okay, so.
One in a million.
Yeah, you know, every 20 years someone dies in a wrestling match, but every day. Yeah, I'm putting it together with the rock music and the wrestling. Sorry I brought it up. No, but people become frustrated in their material hopes for happiness, and then they're angry.
I think the suicide rate is high, very high in Japan. Frustrated, they are frustrated.
Same plan.
I can always count on you for a non sequitur. He woke up too late and he woke up too early. But yeah, you know, every day it's going down. Why? Because anger is the younger brother of lust. It's harder to control anger than it is to control lust. Harder to control anger than it is to control lust. Prabhupada gave that story that the demigods needed a son of Lord Shiva to defeat the demigods. That is to say, Lord Shiva would have to have a son to defeat the demons, rather. So how to get him to have a son? He's practicing meditation. He's off in the Himalayas somewhere. So they sent Cupid to agitate him. So Cupid shot his arrow, and Lord Shiva didn't become lusty. But he became so angry that he burnt Cupid to ashes just by his glance. You could control lust, but anger was still stronger. So, therefore, kama, and that we read earlier, what is that? Kama krodho bijayate? Krodhad bhavati sam moha, then from anger, complete bewilderment. Then krodhad bhavati sam moha smriti, then you forget what you're doing. You know, the guy didn't realize, you know, you see the picture of the guy, he's getting up from, you know, crying next to the body of his wife who he just shot to death. You know, why did I do it? Why did I, you know? He lost it, huh? Lust was frustrated, then anger came, anger, bewilderment of memory. Then his intelligence was lost, then he shot his wife. And now he's finished. So, Vayunam, great enemy of this world. Lust is the starting place. lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it's lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. But Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport that even lust and anger can be engaged in the service of Krishna. What is that? There's some quotation.
Hanuman, the great servant of Lord Ram.
Krishna Karma Krodha Karmarpanam, right? There's Krishna Krodha Karmarpanam. Yeah. Krishna Krodha Karmarpanam. Yeah, that's basically the idea. That everything can be engaged in the service of Krishna. Lust can be transformed to love for Krishna. Anger can be used even in the service of Krishna. Everything can be purified.
Only envy cannot.
Only envy cannot.
Only envy cannot. Yes. Thank you. All right, we will continue. We'll finish this chapter, I think, tomorrow. Yes?
You said that it's easier to control lust than anger.
No.
No, anger than lust.
Easier to control lust than anger.
But I was reading that lust is subtler than anger because...
Lust is what?
Lust is subtle. And anger is
more subtle
than anger because we can see an angry...
It may be more subtle, so when it gets to the point of anger, it's already gross.
Yeah, but
when it's gross, now what are you going to do? When a disease is subtle, maybe you can do something about it. Once it's gross, a gross infection, you've really got a problem. The first subtle stage is desire, you know? Kind of sees Susie and thinks, pretty girl. Then the next thing is, it develops into a serious case of lust, and pretty soon he can't live without Susie, and this, that, and the other thing. And the next thing is, found out Susie's got another guy on the side, and now his anger is just out of control. Next thing, Susie's lying there on the ground, you know, with a bullet through her head. What happens when a person, they're both bad. You know, a person gets controlled by lust and, you know, there's no talking to him anymore, there's no reasoning with him anymore, his mind is already kind of like three-quarters shot. I gave that example, you know, the art student who wanted to shack up with the wife of the construction worker. You know, I mean, where is the intelligence? So lust already is bad. You know, lust is itself the great enemy. Just jnana vijnana nashim, it can just finish you off. But then along with, you know, they've got a duo there. Along with lust comes anger. Also hard, you know, how do you control anger? The temple president had to, I don't know what he did to that guy to keep him from killing the guy who was messing with his wife. And it didn't matter, he's going to go to jail, this, that, or the other. You know, I'll just powder the guy. Anger gets so strong that, again, you know, when a person's angry, doesn't know what he's saying, doesn't know what he's doing. You know, a person, you've seen a person, like, you've seen a crazy person who becomes overwhelmed with anger and it takes, like, 10 guys to, you strap him down. You know, a person becomes like, when he's angry, you know, a person is sitting here and he's, you know, we have a difference of opinion. You know, like all of us, each one of us could have a difference of opinion here, and we could have a discussion. Now imagine if, say, three of us get angry. What happens to this? Imagine now if every one of us got angry.
How can you touch me? How can you say that?
You know, who do you think you are? You're always acting like da-da-da-da-da. You're no better than da-da-da-da-da. What kind of devotee? Blah, 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 blah.
Don't raise a finger.
Yeah, you know. Now imagine, you know, the same group of people who are having a reasonable discussion, and just we inject like 10% anger or something, and pretty soon everything's going to be wild.
There is a seminar like this in
modern seminar, like you express your anger now.
Yeah.
So just like there is a Cupid, is there somebody for anger?
That's how it starts.
Who do you think you are, anyway? I'll take you out behind the Seva building, okay? But once anger gets going, very hard to control. Very hard. You know, you get generations of people who are fighting with one another. You know, anger. So these two, very, very difficult. And lust is the anger is the younger brother of lust. When lust is frustrated, then anger. Desire is frustrated, then there's anger.
But when lust is not frustrated, it is also extremely hard to control.
Lust will always be frustrated, sooner or later. But lust, it's not that anger has to come into the picture, otherwise you're doing fine. You know, I'm lusty, but I'm not angry, so everything's fine here. Lust is enough, more than enough. And it's really, anger is the bit player here, the main actor in the piece is lust. Krishna only mentions anger in passing, but lust is going to be described at a little bit greater length. Yes?
So the whole idea is that we've read about purification, that Krishna consciousness, we can purify, through Krishna consciousness, we purify our work.
Yes.
But it really means that we purify our desire.
Yeah, exactly.
That is really what purification
means. Exactly. It's not just that we're working and because we're working automatically. There's purification of consciousness, which especially means purification of desire. What is that purification? To switch it from Maya to Krishna. Shall we stop here?
All right, I have one announcement, if that's okay. The announcement starts with a question. Who would like to improve their relationship with the Holy Name? Some dubious characters there. Friday evening, after the class with Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, then the Friday, Saturday and Sunday evenings, Srimati Mother is running three workshops on making friends with the Holy Name. I attended both her sets of workshops last year and they were really excellent, so I would encourage anybody who wants to improve their relationship with the Holy Name to attend those three workshops. And there should be a notice on the board either in Taiwan or outside it, she said. So please read that and put your name down if you're interested.
Well, I said compulsory woman.
I don't think
this is outside of Bhakti Shastra.
No, it's outside Bhakti Shastra. It's not compulsory. But so I went last year to six workshops. They're absolutely fantastic.
That runs concurrently with the basketball practice.
You have to choose. Uh-huh.
I'm sure these really are excellent workshops. There have been several workshops actually that have been offered by
4 till 6
day. Friday, Saturday and Sunday. 4 to 6. Okay. Good. All right, we're done. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
No, our class is 3 till 4 on Friday. In case anyone missed that the other day, Kadamba Kanana Maharaj's class on Friday is from 3 till 4, and then this class follows directly.
4 till 6.
Where are you?
Srimati Mother?
Where?
Where? They're here in this, say, our room.
I'm going to go back instead of going to the Ganga Tea. I'm just wondering if I'm going to do this on the way. I could.
She's Australian.
Or plenty of time. Not that much time, really. Better to do it over on the key, I think.
And she lives in Vrindavan. She comes to teach on the Bhakti Shastri.
Okay.
Oh, yes, find the morning.
The teaching method is superb.
Very nice.
And Mr. Mayapur is where?
He's just from the point of the year. He just went inside the tunnel.
Okay, I'll take my black bag, my little black bag, the Borders bag.
If you go to Delhi, then we will find it.
Diplomacy is aid that's dividing people. Every Indian devotee should know.
Sama.
Maybe.
It's a degree of introspection.
Classifying words.
Some.